Well, good afternoon, everyone. It is so nice to be back. My wife and I, or the kids, we were in Shanghai last Sunday. So sorry for missing you all. We're seeing my daughter graduate from Fudan University. It was a great time. It was great because it was a smaller graduation, and it was an inside auditorium with AC, big cushion seats, and it was all about an hour. Woo! That's a record. That was wonderful. Thank you so much. We're so excited about being here. We had a great week. Finally got a place to live. Praise God. And just working through things with all that. Yeah, that was kind of a hassle to be going all over the place. But no, it worked out pretty good. So praise God for that. Today is a special message I have for you today. It's something near and dear to my heart. And in fact, I wrote a book. And this is part of the book that I wrote, this message. This is very near dear to my heart. A famous newspaper columnist in America called Dear Abby answers questions from readers who writes into her of all issues of life. And she gets tens of thousands of requests every year asking her about, what about job? What about am I successful enough? They compare themselves to other. And Dear Abby has subscribers in 2016 of 110 million people. I mean, this woman is known throughout the world. And she says that one of the most numerous requests that she gets is, what's wrong with me? And my job, what's wrong? How come I'm not successful enough? There is a scripture that I want for us to remember. It comes out of Psalm 75, verse 7. And this is a daddy scripture. It reads, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. All promotion in the scriptures, and it's not just job promotion, it's promotion in many different lives. When there's promotion in our lives, it is because God has ordained it. Promotion comes neither from the east nor from the west. Promotion comes from God. Now, the question is in scriptures, where do we see promotion? How does God promote in the scriptures? There is a great myth amongst Christian leadership around the world that the primary mechanism in which God promotes is through fruitful of being successful at lower levels of leadership, and you're doing that for many, many years, and then you get promoted to a bigger stage. Biblically speaking, that is true, but that's not the full truth. Let's dive into the scriptures and find out what the scriptures say about promotion, about not succeeding or succeeding in life. The first point I want to bring to your memories, to your mind here is God promotes faithfully successful people. God promotes faithfully successful people. There are examples in scriptures where people they slug it out for years and God promotes them. What might those examples be? There's Joseph, who was stuck in Potiphar's house. Joseph's brother sold him as a slave to Egypt. He went to Potiphar's house, and while in Potiphar's house, Joseph became very successful, started managing very well. And Potiphar's house began to thrive, began to become very prosperous. In fact, Potiphar gave Joseph all of his household was under his domain. Until one day, Potiphar's wife had eyes for Joseph, accused him from wrong things, and then Joseph went into jail. And Joseph must have been like, God, where are you? But in jail, he started producing successful leadership in jail. And after a while, he had the whole jail under his control. Years later, he was summoned before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to interpret dreams, and Pharaoh made him second in charge over all of Egypt. Joseph was a very good example of someone who had a clear stated track record of successful leadership before God promoted him to the big stage. Another example would be Joshua. Joshua was Moses' right-hand man for 40 years in the wilderness. And when Moses passed away, Joshua's next in command. Joshua is a great example of being faithful for many years, and then God called him to be the biggest leader for the nation of Israel. The prophet Samuel was another example. The prophet Samuel was brought into the tabernacle at a young boy. He was under the high priest Eli. He served there for many years. He was then endowed by the Lord with a great prophetic gift, so much so that after years of being in the temple, all of Israel knew that Samuel was the prophet from the Lord, and the Lord and the nation made him the judge over the nation of Israel. Those are three good examples. Someone might also consider Noah and maybe Daniel, but they're kind of up for debate. But here are at least three to four good examples of where saints have shown faithful service for many, many years, and then God promotes them to national leadership. Reminds a friend of mine at BICF, Beijing International Christian Fellowship, where my friend was the youth pastor there for years, and then he became the small groups pastor for many years. And then when the senior pastor went to go church planting in another part of the world, he now then became the senior pastor for BICF, and he's still today. Great guy. This is a wonderful principle in scriptures that God uses. Now, in thinking of this promotional example, this what is modeled to us in scriptures, we also must remember that God commands us to learn and get wisdom. We can't just try hard, but not be into learning all the time. We must be into learning. Proverbs 8, verse 10 and 11 says, "Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her." Proverbs 12, verse 1 reads, "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid." How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver? Proverbs 16, verse 16. When it comes to the promotional standards in the Bible, we must always be learners. There's no excuse for not learning. If we don't learn, the scriptures call us stupid. And there's some clear examples in scriptures of people who strive for years and years, being faithful, being fruitful, and God promotes them. That's wonderful. But let's look at some examples in scripture where there's no stated track record of success before God calls someone into big leadership. How about Moses? Moses was raised in Pharaoh's household, a favored grandson by the king of Egypt. Later, he has to flee to Midian, and he was 40 years in Midian, and then God spoke to him, saying, "Moses, you're now going to be the leader of the nation of Israel." And this is Moses' response. And Moses said to the Lord in Exodus 4, verse 10 to 14, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." So the Lord said to him, "Who made the man's mouth? Who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I'll be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say." But he said, "Oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send." So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Moses was like, "I'm not the guy. I'm not big enough. I can't do this. I'm not talented enough." And God got mad at him and told him, "Go anyways." Moses had no stated track record of success for 40 years in the wilderness before God called him to be the leader of the nation of Israel. How about the book of Judges? There's one judge called Jephthah. Before he was called to be the judge over the nation of Israel, this is how the Bible describes him in Judges 11, verse 3. "Jephthah fled from his brothers and dwelt in the land of Tob. And worthless men banded together with Jephthah, and he went out raiding with him." Great. he might have been a man's man, but going out raiding and killing indiscriminately are not characteristics that makes a great leader. Might have been a great warrior, not a great leader. The scriptures say nothing about his leadership skills before he's brought into being the national leader. How about Samson? Super strong Samson. What was he like before he was called in to be the nation's leader, the nation's judge? Judges 15, verse 15 says, "And he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men." That's my life verse right there. No, that's not my life verse. It's a joke. I mean, hit the jawbone of a donkey and it goes and kills 1,000 Philistines. Well, that's the Bible talks about his leadership skills before God calls him to be the judge over the entire nation of Israel. There is no stated track record of success. God chose Samson because God chose Samson. How about King Saul? Was he a great leader before God called him to be the first king over the nation of Israel? No. No, in fact, in 1 Samuel 10, we see if Samuel the prophet announced to the nation of Israel, "This is your new king." And in verse 20, 22, you can read Samson, there's Saul, and he's hiding with the equipment. He didn't want the job. He didn't have this big stated track record of success before God promoted him. And the same thing with King David. What was King David before he became the leader of Saul's armies? Before he defeated Goliath, what was David doing before that? He was a shepherd boy. He was a boy who played the mean guitar. That's what he was. How about Solomon, King David's son? Was he a great leader beforehand? This is how King Solomon describes himself as the great leader. 1 Kings 3, verse 7 through 9. "Now, O Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father David. But I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous it cannot be counted. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours?" Solomon was honest with God. He didn't have the leadership gifts. And he knew it. And he was like, God, I don't know if I can do this. He was honest. He was righteous. I mean, who here can say they can lead a nation? None of us here can say that. Solomon didn't have this big track record of success. Yet he was chosen by God to be the nation of Israel's leader. And the stories, they go on and on. Throughout the kings, on and on. How about the major and minor prophets? Were they great leaders before God called them to be the major prophet over the nation of Israel? Of all the major and minor prophets, no, no, and no. They just appeared out of seemingly nowhere. I like how Amos talks about it in Amos 7:14. When people start complaining to Amos about him being a prophet, this is Amos' response. He says, "I'm not a professional prophet. I was never trained to be one. I'm just a shepherd, and I took care of sycamore fig trees." He's like, "Hey, don't blame me. What are you getting mad at me for? I'm not some professional prophet. I was a tender sycamore fruit." And yet God chose him to be a massive leader in the nation of Israel. If you go through and look in the Old Testament and just start flipping the pages and finding all the big leaders in the Old Testament, you could go Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Ruth, Naomi, Gideon, any of the kings, major, minor prophets. Almost none of them have any stated track record of success before God thrust them into a big promotion. Why did God choose them? I don't know why. But Hebrews 13, verse 8 says, "He is the same yesterday, today, and forever." What about the New Testament? Sure, there's examples in the New Testament of people who are like brilliantly successful, and then God promotes them to the national level of leadership. Sure, there's examples, right? Well, what about Peter, Paul? I mean, is there Peter, James, John, Thaddeus, Bartholomew? What about the original 12 disciples? They were just fishermen. Nothing wrong with being fishermen. I love fishing. They're fishermen. And yet Jesus Christ called them to follow him and be changers of the world with no stated track record of success. What about the Apostle Paul? Did he have big success before him, before God called him into the major leadership playing field? No. What was the Apostle Paul doing before he became a Christian? He was throwing Christians into prison. And I'm sure many of them were not treated very nicely. He was a scoundrel. Yet God called him to change the face of the world. What about the other characters in the New Testament? Like people like Apollos, Aquila, Priscilla, Timothy, Titus, Epaphroditus, Silas, Jude, and go on and on. There's about 30 of them in the New Testament. What about all of them? Nope. No stated track record of being successful or being faithful over the years, and then God suddenly thrust them into the national limelight. That's not the case. God chose them to be major leaders, pivotal in that era of time, because God chose them. The scriptures are just not interested in what was their record beforehand, before God called them into the national limelight. In the Old Testament, there's about 85 major leaders as I count them. In the New Testament, roughly 30. That's 115 people. And yet only maybe four in scriptures had a major, they're faithful over the long haul before God promoted them to the big stage. Now, question, how does you apply this to our life? How are we going to apply this to our life? Point three in that line is application. Stop beating yourself up. If you think that you are not successful enough, or somehow you got passed over, that is not from God. That's a lie. You're exactly where God wants you to be. Now, granted, like I said earlier, we have to be learners. The scriptures call us stupid if we don't learn. And that's true for everyone, whether we're a billionaire or a leader of a country or a leader of a big corporation, or whether we're just the normal Joe person out there. Everybody's responsible to be continually learning and developing themselves. So as we are continually, you all are here because you want to learn. As we're being faithful to the Lord, learning and living what's called a good moral life, not a perfect moral life, because no one is perfect. But if we're living a good moral life and we're constantly learning and we're trying, we're not just laying around at home doing nothing, we're actually trying, the Lord promises. He promises he's going to guide you. He's going to develop you. He's going to mature you. You're not going to miss it. You're not going to miss it. Some of us, we beat ourselves up thinking, I missed it on this or I missed it on that because I wasn't good enough. Are you learning? Well, you're here. Are you trying? Yeah, you're trying. Are you living a good moral life? I mean, the scriptures do command us to live a sinless life. We can't be, we can wreck our lives of sin. We can go out and rob a bank, and we can wreck God's preferred future for our lives. That can happen. But the most of us are not doing that, I would assume. I think I dare to say most of us here are trying to have a good moral life. We're having a good moral life. We're learning. We're trying. That's our responsibility. Promotion, that's the Lord. If we missed out on a big promotion, that's not our fault. That's God giving us a different calling. But what about those who do have big success? They have been called to be leaders over this and endowed with lots of money, all that kind of stuff. Well, great, praise God. Well, one thing, we can't judge them. The scriptures are real clear about judging one another. Romans 14, verse 4 says, who are you to judge another servant? Whose own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. And a few verses later, it reads, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. They're not bad guys. They're good guys because they're trying to figure out their God-honoring calling just as much as you or I. We all can't be billionaires. We all can't be CEOs of companies. We all can't have churches with 10,000 members. You know, my little dream, right? You can ask my wife to see if that's true. I gave up that dream a long time ago, by the way. All of us play this comparison game, and it's wrong. Because God knows his plan for your life. Consider these verses. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Do you think that's true? Do you think God knows his own thoughts for you? For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. This text was written to the nation of Israel as they're just about to go into exile. And part of it actually was in exile. And then more about to go into exile. And God was saying to the nation of Israel, I have a hope and a future for you. And he has a hope and a future for us to do, because it's not just written in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. It's also written in Ephesians 2, verse 10. This reads, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has literally prepared in advance, predestined good works for us to walk in today and this week. He prepared them hundreds of years ago. He knew exactly where we're going to be right here and right now, and he's prepared in advance these good works for us. I love Job, verse 34, 21. It reads, For his eyes, God's eyes, are on the ways of man, and he sees all his steps. How many steps do you take a day? We're going out trying to find apartments, and we have a great realtor, by the way. He's awesome. If you guys need a realtor, come talk to us. We got the man. And we're like doing like, what is it, 10,000 steps a day? Easy. I mean, it's like my feet were killing me. You remember that when you first came to China, you're trying to find all the places to live and your feet going, oh, my feet aren't used to this. I'm getting my city feet back here about another week. God sees all your steps. Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Providing we're being good people, not morally perfect, but soft before the Lord, seeking his face, we are trying. God says He's ordered your steps, and he delights in your way. Proverbs 16, verse 9, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. This is why you're not going to miss it. Listen, then, and let's read the next verse. Proverbs 20, 24. The Lord directs our steps. So why try to understand everything along the way? This is why you're not going to miss it. If you feel like you've been passed over by these promotions in life, whether it's at work, whether it's at school, or whether it's whatever it is, you didn't miss it. Because God promises he's going to guide your steps. And it could be 10,000 steps a day. And God said he's going to watch you and Nuno's every single step. And he's going to guide you. And you're not going to miss God's preferred future as you're faithfully seeking his face. I want to close with a story about a good friend of mine. Her name is Leah on the island of Kauai. And her and her sister started Fifth Gospel Bookstore. And they had this dream of being the number one Christian merchandiser in the state of Hawaii. And my wife and I, when we started a church in the island of Kauai, we didn't know what we were doing. And we found this Christian bookstore by chance. It was, we bumped into it. And we started talking to them. And her sister became our worship leader at the church we started called New Hope Lihui. And it was a wonderful experience. And we got to know the owners of this bookstore. And they sold Bibles, commentaries, T-shirts, Christian merchandise, and lots of books. It was a great store. Awesome store. And years later, I'm guessing around 7 years later, I forget the exact number of years, but a number of years later, they were struggling. And they're like, we don't know if we're going to make it. And then the unthinkable happened. Now, ladies, you can relate to me on this one. The unthinkable happened. The owner of the bookstore got pregnant with twins. She's like, oh, no. I got this bookstore, and Lord, twins. And she knew the Lord was telling her, it's time to let the bookstore go. You've got twins, and be a big change in your life. So hang on. And so they closed the bookstore, and that was very sad. I remember those days, helping unpack to move out of the mall that they were in. And Leah confided in me, saying, did I fail God? I'm like, no, you did not fail. You did not fail God. Twins is not failure. I mean, because when you give birth to twins, that's really, really busy. That was a promotion. Those boys are. They're beautiful. My daughter's babysitting all the time. And the funny part about the story, this is the best part of the whole story. About 2 or 3 years later, Borders, which is a very big American bookstore, they have hundreds of stores all over the country, and the stores are huge. They're like two stories tall, and they're I don't know how many square meters they are, but they're big stores. They had a store on Kauai, a bookstore on Kauai, which also sold Christian books. But anyways, they went out of business. And when I heard about this, I went up to Leah and said, hey, Leah, did you hear the news about Borders? And she's like, yeah, I heard they're closing. I'm like, oh, yeah, they're closing. That's right, they're closing. Then I asked her a question. Hey, so Leah, how many marketing professionals do you think Borders has to manage their over 300 stores all over the U.S.? How many marketing professionals do they have? These marketing experts to make their business super successful? Well, a lot, right? Who knows? A lot. How many financial experts do they have in order to make sure they have the cash flow they need? They've got probably dozens of them. How many regional managers do they have? To make their store the most profitable as they can be? And Borders, with all their knowledge and all their money and all their influence, they still couldn't make it on the island of Kauai. So, Leo, do you feel like you failed God? She's like, nope. She's like, nope. I love my family. This is great. And before she gave birth to her twins, they had a giant, like, baby shower. And I don't know if they do that in other parts of the world, but in America, when someone about to give birth, often the women come together and they give a baby shower, and they give the women gifts to help raise the babies. How many women were there? They all giving her gifts, saying, "Leah, thank you. You minister to me. You helped me. You were such a godsend to me." And just tears. Testimony after testimony. Did Leah fail God? Nope. She did not fail God at all. God changed her calling. God promoted her, but in a different way. She didn't miss anything. God knew the plans that he had for her, steps for a future and a hope. He knew every step she was going to make, and he was guiding her into the path in which God wanted her to take. And the same is true for you. You're not going to miss it. Does that sound good? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I want to say thank you so much for guiding us. You say you're going to guide every step we take, Lord. Every step this week, you said you see it. And you're going to guide us. Thank you that our days are bright. Our future is in your plans. And then we're not going to miss it. And thank you, Lord, that you do promote sometimes people who've been tried hard for years and years, and you do promote them. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you that you do that kind and wonderful thing for people. But you also thank you, Lord, for the times that you don't promote in ways that we understand. And it's okay. We trust you, Lord. We trust you. This week, Lord, I pray you remind us again and again of the truths of your scriptures, about your love for us, your providential guidance for us, and these things pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.